Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest, an award-winning actor and playwright, has been busy of late, crossing the country to perform his works Breathe, The Prodigal Trilogy, and Life of David. Jason Hildebrand is on the phone with us from his Toronto home to talk about these and his most recent projects, which also included a video for musician Jacob Moon. But first, let's listen to Long Journey Home from the Mike Jansen Trio's Metronome CD. And our interview with Jason Hildebrand. Good evening, Jason.
How are you?
Not bad. Now, it's been a few years since our last Arts Connection interview, so for those listeners who didn't hear that interview, let's sort of give them a little bit of background on that. How did you get into acting?
Oh, man, I've been doing it my whole life. I was the, the sheep in the school play in kindergarten, maybe grade one, back when you were allowed to do the Christmas story in schools. And I think I've been in every school play since, all the way up finishing high school, and then after a year of Bible college and a year of business school, I did a degree in acting.
Well, what sort of led to that decision to make acting, you know, your career, as opposed to just, you know, like you said, you know, doing it in school and things like that? What kind of led you to say, I need to act?
Sure. Well, you know what? I wanted to do that from the beginning, but I had this kind of crisis of faith in high school where, God kind of said, are you with me or not? And I said, I'm with you. And then I had to figure out, okay, well, if that's the case, then what do I believe? So that was my year of Bible college. But I was, my dad wasn't a businessman, and I was always very kind of a creative ideas guy. So I thought, oh, I'll go into business and be in marketing or, you know, advertising or something like that. And so I went to Laurier for business, but the second day of statistics, I was confused. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to pass this class? I'm never going to make it in statistics. And so funny enough, Laurier had they were doing a play. The school was doing a play, Hamlet. And they don't have a theater program, but they have a bunch of money that they put into their shows every year. And so I got to play Rosencrantz. I auditioned and got the part of Rosencrantz, and they had this Stratford actor playing Hamlet. And the whole experience was amazing. And I just felt that God was saying to me, this is what I made you for. I made you for this. And my girlfriend, who's now my wife at the time, was just like, oh, man, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And so I thought, well, I'd always wanted to go to York University for acting because they had such a good program. So I did the very uncourageous thing in some ways, which was I thought, okay, well, I need to be responsible. I should be a teacher. And so I auditioned for the playwriting and criticism program, which is, there's nothing cowardly about that. I mean, playwriting and criticism is very difficult, but I did it so that I could become a teacher rather than being an actor. So I got in for playwriting and criticism. And in the first year, everybody takes all the different courses, right? Playwriting and stagecraft and acting and the whole thing. And my grad student prof in acting said, Jason, you need to take acting. And so, you know, I plucked up the courage, did my audition, and 78 people auditioned for the program to get into second year acting. They accepted 19, and I was number 21 on the list. And I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, I quit my business school to come here, and I don't want to just do theater. I want to do or arts. I want to do acting. And so it took the entire summer for three people to drop out, so I got in. And that was my big first moment where God says, I move the pieces. You just need to stay close to me.
Well, looking at that as
long version.
Yeah, and looking at that, and as you were going along, you know, you talk about your grad school prof as an influence. Who has influenced you as you've gone along, as an actor and developing your skills as an actor?
Oh man, well, you know, the funny thing is that the person that I would say from when I was a grade 10 or grade 11 that influenced me, well, there's a couple of them. From a teacher perspective, I had a high school teacher named Mark Melamek, and a fantastic guy. And he was from New York. He was an actor by trade. He still is an actor by trade. He actually teaches at Sheridan right now with their acting program. But he encouraged me. He said, Jason, you're an actor. And myself and another guy, who's actually in New York right now. He has his own theater company in New York. And he said, I got something big for you next year. And I think it was grade 10 at the time. And we did Little Shop of Horrors. And I got to play Seymour Krelborn, which is such a fun, super fun role. And so he just called it out of me. He just pulled it out of me, that guy specifically. And then, you know, when I got to York University, you know, being the only, well, when I entered into the program, I was the only person, I was the only Christian in my program, which was out of 100 or 200 and whatever people in the class. Now, you know, funny enough, Ince Choi came along a couple of years behind me, who's now gone on to do Kim's Convenience and Subway Stations of the Cross. And so there was a couple other Christians that kind of were sneaking around at York, but at the year that I entered, there was nobody there that was a Christian. So it was tricky. But the person that grounded me there was one of the best voice instructors in all of Canada, named David Smuckler. And you know, in many ways, he just really, I just trusted him, and he again drew out of me the best of Jason, and you know, guided me along in all my, you know, learning how to, you know, feel things and learning how to, you know, be true to what's going on inside of me and all those kind of things. But interestingly enough, I think from the beginning, the artist that influenced me most was Bono of U2, which is kind of funny. But we had a band in high school, and I was lead singer of the band. But the thing that struck me about him and the whole band in general, but him specifically, is I'd never seen a guy get on the stage and crack his heart open and just pour it out for the whole audience. It just stunned me. Every time I'd watch him, I think, how does that guy do that? And I think my whole career has been built around the desire to do that, is to open up and give people, you know, give people Jason in all of his messiness and wonderfulness and, you know, kookiness and all that kind of stuff. But this, and I feel like that is part of the Christ model too, quite frankly, where Jesus came as a man in a body, and he just opened up and gave all that he had, pouring the Father's love through the Spirit into the world, to such a degree that he was, you know, at the end of the day, he was exhausted and had to go to retreat and hang out with the Father. But that model of transparency or openness or honesty or whatever word you want to use and whatever culture you're in, but that really has marked what I aspire to, both as an actor, as a filmmaker, as a playwright, is to get to a place where people, where we take down the walls and get inside and root around in there and see what is really beautiful, our original design. And I'm rambling here, Robert, but you know.
Well, and I mean, any of the actors that I've seen that have done well in acting have done exactly that. You know, there is that rawness, and I think especially you talking about Bono. I mean, in the early days of U2, there was just that sense of rawness of just hanging everything out on the stage with
and
Bono.
A fearlessness to recognize. I think one of the things in our faith communities that we struggle to do, which I think he does well, and I don't know, maybe he's because of the conflict between Catholic and Protestant he came out of, and there's a defiance there, but I think one of the things that we forget is that we are beautifully and wonderfully made, and we have, you know, in Christ, I think we have unlimited ability to step into who we were created to be, and there's strength there and beauty and wonder, and that always trumps the brokenness. The original design filled with the Spirit always trumps the brokenness of our own souls, and I think he just portrays that. There's just like, he's okay with him being messy, but he recognizes his significance, you know, and I think you can do almost anything if you recognize your significance like that.
Well, with that, I think we need to take a break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation with actor and playwright Jason Hillebrand. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Was Revived from the Metronome CD by the Mike Janzen Trio. And now back to our conversation with Jason Hillebrand. Jason, one of the things you were mentioning when we were talking just a couple minutes ago was the fact that you were the only Christian in your class of 100, 200 people. And that, how was that as a Christian working through that arts program? Did you get any support from the church, from your faith community, or what were the challenges that you were facing being a Christian amongst all those people?
Sure. Well, it was hugely challenging, and one of the reasons it was so challenging was that the program is so intensive. It's 6 days a week. You know, you get there at 9 in the morning, and you leave at 10 at night, sometimes 11 at night, for 6 days a week. And so, you know, there's no time to belong to something like an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship or some kind of campus group. There's no time to have a small group. There's no time for any of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, though I had friends and I, you know, did the church thing on Sunday and stuff like that. And I mean, very gratefully, I was dating my wife my girlfriend at the time, who's now become my wife, and we got married in between third and fourth year, which was super. But there just wasn't time to engage. And in another way. Then, you know, maybe I didn't know where to look for it, but people just didn't know what to do with me as an artist. They're just like, why are you doing that? Like, there just was no paradigm at the time in my experience in the church in you know, Ontario and Toronto. They just were like, they couldn't kind of grasp what I was all about. And I'm sure everybody, you know, there's lots of people who go into different situations that are secular situations, quote unquote secular situations. But there was just, you know, it was tricky. I really felt super alone, which in one way is great because it drove me into the presence of God every day. I mean, literally, I would be on my knees every morning just begging God, okay, God, just get me through this day and you know, stay close to me. One of the amazing things that happened was that in my final year, we went to see, my wife and I went to see this a guy named Bruce Kuhn who did the accounts, what is it, the accounts of Luke. So he did the entire book of Luke in King James, so it was like Shakespeare, a one-man show. He played all the parts. I think we saw him in Hamilton at McMaster University, and the guy was, not only was he a believer, but he was like an amazing actor. He had his master's in acting, and actually InterVarsity had been touring him around the world performing this thing, and then he went on to do Acts, and then Tolstoy. He's done a bunch of stuff. He lives in Holland now. But we became friends because I was just desperate for somebody who understood what I was going through. And he gave me some of the best advice. I mean, first of all, it's just great to meet somebody who got it and who knew what I was going through. But he gave me the best advice that I ever received to this day, I think. He said, and this will sound really ridiculous, but he said, Jason, whatever you do, God will forgive you. And that sounds like a really, you know, like it's like my way to get out of doing whatever I'm doing or avoid, you know, doing the right thing. But what it allowed me to do was, like, I was so worried that I'd screw it up, right? I was so worried that I would be in some play or I would say something that was, you know, sinful or hurtful or not Christian or whatever. At the time, I was worried about this, that I was stressed out all the time. And it just gave me permission to stop being so stressed out and to recognize that God's grace is massive and he loves me and that it's not about rules and regulations, it's about relationship with Jesus. And so that just freed me up to actually start listening to the voice of God as opposed to trying to do the right thing, if that makes sense.
Yep. Well, thinking and speaking of the things that you've been doing, you've been really busy. I mean, it's taken us a little while to actually put this interview together. But you've done. I think your latest project is adapting Greg Pohl's book "Breathe" into a play that also features music by Mike Janzen, who we've been featuring in the breaks. How did that whole project come about?
So interesting. I had not met Greg before. But we have a mutual patron. Mike and Greg and I have a mutual patron. And so when Greg was putting this book together, or when Greg was doing his book launch for Close Enough to Hear God Breathe, he didn't want to read the book. He was like, you know, can we just get somebody to come up with something that's not the book, like that's not me reading a book? And so he had already had Mike and his trio coming to play at the event. And this mutual patron said, well, why don't you hire Jason to come and he can look at the book, pick something out, and perform it. And so that's what happened. I went in and I took about a month or so and worked on this project, or maybe longer than that, a couple months, worked on this, and I kind of took all the stories that really resonated deeply with me. And it was a bit of a mishmash, and some of it was memorized, and some of it was read from a computer, and the Mike Janzen trio, who is just like unbelievable, played underneath stuff, and so we did it at the Steam Whistle Roundhouse at the base of the Rogers Center there, and the whole thing, like, it was kind of gritty and messy, and I mean the book is like that too, and I'm realizing as I'm performing it that there's tears in people's eyes, and people are just like don't even know quite what to do with what's going on. And so we finish the thing, and there's all these people. Now, some people were confused because the way I do it is it's a bit of a, there's no kind of linear through line of it. It just kind of pops all over the place in the stories. But the stories themselves resonated so deeply with people, and I thought, huh, this is interesting. that it's just landing so deeply in people's souls. And so I just thought, okay, well, there's something here. And I asked Greg, I said, would you be willing to let me adapt this into a play if God comes up with the cash? Because, you know, play development is just expensive because it means that, you know, I got to take a year out of my life or 6 months out of my life and write it. So I need to have an income, and we need to then develop the play with the director and, you know, pay Mike the musician, and he needs to develop it and the whole thing. And so I said, if I get a grant, I applied for a couple of grants, and if I get the grant, then it's a go. Well, sure enough, I got a grant. And so I spent the next, I don't know how long it was, six, 8 months, working on this thing. And we premiered it in Calgary at Fire Exit Theater, which is just an awesome theater company in Calgary. And it was one of those things where, because it wasn't a linear play, it was kind of a play where it's 14 scenes, and it's the story of a man who never heard I love you from his father, kind of searching through the characters of his life. And the good kind of I love you and the bad kind of I love you, because he's searching to find the I love you, right? So, you know, I go from playing Jesus getting baptized to me playing a 12-year-old male street prostitute who would always sing softly and tenderly on the street corner because that's the song his grandma sung, and his grandma never judged him. And, you know, going to playing Jesus and the demoniac, and then a guy shooting heroin who gets to see glory but is also sees the reality of the wreckage of his life that he created. And so it's all over the place, but if there's this through line of I love you, and then ultimately coming to a place where we rest our head against Father God's chest and hear his words that he spoke to Jesus, which are, you are my child, my beloved, I am so pleased with you. Which is, you know, there's the cry of the human heart right there, right? And we've been touring it. We were just in Winnipeg a week ago, and we're actually turning it into a feature film project, which I'm super excited about. So full cast, feature film, episodic, probably 7 episodes. And we have a partnership with the Salvation Army in Canada and Australia. And so they're going to be using the film across their organization in various capacities, as well as it'll get released independently as well. So I'm just super excited about it.
Well, we're both in the production stage. Is the film right now?
Yeah, so we've been working on it for a year and a half. Whenever you're working on a project this size, it just takes a long time because it's, you know, myself and my partner Tad Munnings with StoryStream Creative. He's just a phenomenal filmmaker. His documentary called Transcend on the spiritual significance of running just came out, and it's just been, you know, people are saying it's the best running movie ever made, and it's just a phenomenal. It's about a guy named Wesley Carrier who won the Boston Marathon a couple of years, and so he's been working on that, and I've been working on raising money and developing the project. So we're hoping to have the whole thing done by the end of the year is what we're hoping to. But you know, it's just going to depend on a whole bunch of factors. But we're definitely moving our way up to production. We're still need, you know, as is with always these projects, we still need some money, a bunch of money. We're under a not-for-profit, so, you know, a lot of foundations have given to us, and you know, from small to large charitable giving. So, you know, we're still plugging away, and we may get to a place where we shoot and then, you know, try and recoup later, depending on what we're at. But it's going to be really sweet. We just brought on a new writer to do some tweaking and some writing with us, and so it's been a journey of faith. The truth is that, you know, when I started this particular the film portion of this thing, I really felt like the Lord said to me, I want you from now on with your projects to live in the impossible. If it's not impossible, I did not give it to you to do. And so, you know, he just kind of said, Jason, you're not, and I don't mean this in a self-deprecating way, Robert, but he said, you're not creative enough, intelligent enough, connected enough to pull this off on your own. But with me, I can do this. So stay close to me, listen for what's going on, and follow the breadcrumbs I lay out. And that's what I've been doing, you know, and you know, amazing, cool things are happening. And I still feel like man, I don't even know how this is going to get finished. But I know I'm confident in God who is able to finish all things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm really excited. And Salvation Army is really excited about it, too. They just love the show. They love the play, which is why they wanted to do this project with us. And so, yeah, we're hoping to have it done by the end of the year. So we'll see.
Great. Well, let's take one final break, and we'll come back and wrap up with our guest, Jason Hildebrand. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Sunshine Coast from the Metronome CD by the Mike Jansen Trio. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with actor and writer Jason Hildebrand. Jason, you got the Breathe film. Where can people find out more about what's going on with you?
Well, yeah, jasonhildebrand.com is great, or you can check out my YouTube channel, which is Jason Hildebrand, because Jason Hildebrand was already taken. But I'm also working on a new project, which will be ready in the summer, which is a one-man show on Abraham. It's probably called Searching for Abraham, but I'm right in the research stages right now. And so we'll see. I'm not quite sure. I've committed to launch it this summer. And that's really exciting. That's really exciting as well.
Great. Well, Jason, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Yeah, man. Well, it's always a pleasure being with you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today and thanking my guest, Jason Hildebrand. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @Selaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check our Arts Connection blog at rdaleleslie.wordpress.com. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.